give the Lord a hand clap of praise. All right, before I read the scripture, behind me you see a little slide that say one nugget experience. And I often say at the end of service that you get one nugget out of the sermon that resonated with you and stuck with you. And so what we're going to do is on the front end, I want to challenge each one of you to get one thing. There's that little symbol up there with the hand with all the stuff in it. In the middle, when you're panning for gold, there's a lot of other stuff in there with the gold. And you kind of have to sift through it. And as you sift, the gold show up. Amen. Pastor Bolden is going to say a lot of things today. But all of them you don't need to try to hold on to. You need to sift through the bones and find the meat. That little nugget, that one thing that resonates with you. And if it resonates with you, then afterward, we're going to treat this like if y'all don't went to see y'all favorite star in a movie. Not me, but Jesus. And they ask you when you're leaving, what is the one thing about that movie that you like? That's going to be your story. That's going to be your nugget. And so we're going to give you an opportunity to share that. And then we're just going to put it out there and let people see what y'all think about God's word. And then for those of you who are a little shy in front of the camera here, you got a link there. You can just do it yourself and send it to us. And then we're going to put it out there and let the world know. Your friends ought to know when you get a nugget. Somebody ought to know when the word of God resonate with you and speak to your heart. Amen. And also, just to put you on notice, that you don't come to church to turn your brain off. While y'all still standing, let me go ahead and read the scripture. Proverbs 28:1 from the Amplified Bible says, the wicked, the morally bad people, you know, the ungodly, the wicked flee when no man pursues them. But the uncompromisingly righteous are bold as a lion. Amen. Y'all may be seated. This is going to be our third sermon in the series that we've entitled Intentional Boldness. And we've said that intentional is when you do something on purpose, for a purpose, with purpose, or with attitude. And anytime we do something on purpose, it is not accidental. Amen. Boldness, on the other hand, is a willingness to act with courage or confidence. And I said we live in a time where fear is promoted more than faith, where timidness is often mistaken for humility, and when too many of God's people are shrinking back when they should be standing up. See, the world needs Christians who will not compromise the truth of God's word. Christians who refuse to yield or betray their commitment to God, even under, somebody say, under pressure. Even under pressure. Even when there's a threat, or even sometime when you're tempted to do something other than what God said to do. See, being bold as a lion does not mean that we act reckless, arrogantly, or proudly with oversized egos. But we act righteously bold, obeying God, even when the cost is high. Because we know who we are, and we know whose we are. And we are confident that God is with us as we navigate our way through life, serving Him and representing Him in the earth. So on last week, we looked at some people who displayed boldness as they represented God in the earth. We looked at Noah, we looked at Deborah, Saul, stopped by Ezekiel for a little bit, and we closed with the Hebrew boys boldly defying the edict of the king. Amen. Don't have time to relitigate that, but I encourage you to go back, listen to it, and see if God will bless you. Amen. And so to get the benefit of connecting knowledge, we're going to continue our journey through the scriptures. Today we're going to begin with a small prophet that most people don't even know in the Bible. A prophet by the name of Micah. In the book of Micah, chapter 3, and I'm going to read a lengthy part of this, but you got to get what Micah had to do in order to stand up and be counted as bold. See, here we see the prophet Micah boldly rebuking, somebody say rebuking, the rebuking the sins of the leaders of Israel. You know, it's one thing to rebuke the little peons. But it's another thing when you got to go talk to the head person in both in the religious sector and the civil section. So he had a tough task. He had to speak God's word to the leaders of Israel, men who were not only permitting the wealthy to exploit the poor, but who were also doing it themselves. And description that he gives of these rulers' action remind us more of a ravenous beast that's attacking human beings. And the bottom line, that these leaders and false prophets were leading God's people astray. In this passage, Micah asserts that he is filled with power by the Spirit of the Lord. And coupled with justice and strength, he boldly declared to Israel that you guys are sinning and you're rebelling against God. Somebody need to boldly declare to America that you're sinning and you're rebelling. So look what he says. Now he start off in verse 1. Micah chapter 3 says, I said, listen. Somebody said, listen. Listen. I mean, you got it. I'm telling people, stop. Pay attention to what I'm about to say. Listen, you leaders of Israel. You're supposed to know right from wrong. But you're the ones who hate good and love evil. Good God Almighty. You know, can you imagine telling someone in charge, in authority, say, you guys are supposed to know this. This ain't no mystery. You're supposed, you know, those of you who are saved and sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, you're supposed to know right from wrong. It's not a mystery to you. And you know right from wrong. There's no reason for you to be doing evil and calling it good. Because you know good from evil. He says, but everyone who hates good and love evil, but you're the ones who hate good and love evil. Look what he says. You skin my people alive and tear their flesh from their bone. In other words, he's using an analogy of a wild beast to talk about how the leaders were treating the people, taking advantage of them, using them for their own gain. And he said, now, God has appointed me to stand up and tell you what you're doing that's wrong. He said, now, look, you eat my people's flesh, strip off their skins, break their bones. You chop them up like meat for the cooking pot. Man, God, there's some bad leaders there. I mean, now, he's talking to the civic folk. Now, he's going to get on the religious folks here in a minute. He's talking to government, people who run this country, who make the decisions about the poor folk in the country. That's who he's talking to. Because sometimes the rich eat up the poor and get richer off the poor. I just dropped by to tell America that we shouldn't be getting rich off the poor. Oh, Lord. Look at verse 4, he says, then you beg the Lord for help in times of trouble. Do you really expect him to answer? Now look here. Some of y'all think God hear everybody. But I got news for you. There's some folks who's evil that's crying out and he ain't listening. Amen. He says, after all the evil you have done, he won't even look at you. Now that's serious. When you can be so evil that God won't even hear your prayers and won't even look at you. Verse 5, he says, this is what the Lord says. You false prophets are leading my people. Now he's talking to the church folk. Those who say they ought to know this word, but instead of teaching the word and standing on the word, they were leading God's people astray. He said, now look, you promise peace for those who give you food. So if y'all feed Pastor Bolden, I'll prophesy and tell you what you want to hear. Your life is going to be peaceful. Everything going to be goody, goody, goody. But you got to pay me. Feed me. And as more you feed me, I'll feed you what you want to. Just feed me. And those of you who are too stingy to feed me, I'm going to prophesy against you. Yeah, oh Lord, I hope y'all getting this. He says, you false prophets are leading my people astray. You promise peace for those who give you food. But you declare war on Brother JP. On those who refuse to feed you. I'm so glad that I don't believe I'm a false prophet. I am not preaching for y'all to drop something at my feet. And then take inventory of who dropped and who did. Because if you didn't drop nothing, I got a prophecy for you. But if you drop something, all is well. You ain't got to worry about no rivers rising in your life. Just keep dropping, and I'll keep prophesying. But you just got to drop. See, preaching for money ain't new. People been doing that a long time. There are people who do this for ungodly gain. And a lot of time they do it just to take advantage of God's people. Because we know most folk come to church with itching ears. They want you to tell them what they want to. They don't want you to slow down and read this Bible and then tell them, hey, what you're doing is evil. I ain't come to church to hear nobody talk about evil. I come to church to hear how I can continue to be prosperous. Well, you can be blessed, but you got to do it the right way. So he says now, in verse 6 he says, now the night will close around you, cutting off all your vision. Talking to these folks who were prophesying now. See, because y'all been lying to folk, you're no longer going to get revelations from heaven. The light is going to go out. Lights talk about things that we can see based on God's word that God revealed to us. And he said, man, if you're a man of God and you no longer get any light, without light, I don't have nothing to tell you. And the light comes from the word of God. And I don't want God to close up this word on me. To the point that I read it and it no longer resonates with my spirit. So therefore, I want to do things right. So that when I read this, something will come that I can share with you. I shouldn't read this and get a blank page in my head. Because the light is still. He says, darkness will cover you, putting an end to your predictions. The sun will set on you, prophets, and your day will come to an end. Then he goes on with the fortune tellers, too. He said, now look, then you seers, you know y'all got to read your palm and all that, will be put to shame, and your fortune tellers will be disgraced. And you will cover your face because there is no answer from God. In other words, it's just symbolizing that, hey, when you're in shame, you're going to go and hide it because now you ain't got no revelation to give nobody. And so therefore, whatever we do, whether you're studying God's word as a student or whether you're preaching God's word, we ought to always want to get a revelation from God's word. We ought to always want to read something in there that speaks to our spirit that we know that is true, and then we can stand on that truth when we present it to others. You don't want to come to church and the light is always off. Your mind ought to be open, receiving what the word of God is saying, and you ought to be holding on to something that you can share with somebody. You don't want to get yourself in a position where you go to God and you don't get no answers. Look at what he says here, the boldest declaration. I like verse 8. He says, but as for me, I am filled with power with the Spirit of the Lord. I am filled with justice and strength to boldly declare Israel's sin and rebellion. Man, it takes power to stand up and speak the truth to those in power. You got to be filled with something. That's why all of you all should want to be filled with God's Spirit. Amen. Where you're empowered and emboldened by him to stand on this word and preach it and teach it and present it to people as if you are confident in who God is in your life. Man, you got to have strength and boldness when you're going to stand on God's word, especially when you're going to call some of your friends out for sin. Y'all got quiet right there. I was doing all right as long as I was talking about Israel. Now I'm talking to you. You need to be Micah. You need to be bold and declare to some people in your life that what they're doing is sinful and they're rebelling. Then they're going to come back at you with that one little word that put all y'all in a tizzy. Judging me, you judge. I ain't judging you. I'm just reading to you what the Bible say. You married and got a side piece. It's wrong. That ain't y'all, but that's some of y'all friends out there. You need to tell them that is wrong. Then they hanging around you, laughing and grinning with you, and you know what they're doing, then you wrong. Because they telling you what you want to hear, so therefore you don't tell them what they need. Oh, Lord, I didn't know y'all. That's somebody online. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend nobody right there. Because I... You know, when you're standing up in strength and boldness, man, you just say it. Look what he said in verse 9. Listen to me, you leaders of strife. You hate justice, and you twist all that is right. Now, they ain't talking to striving leaders, because I know most of the folk here, they don't twist God's word to please y'all. Amen. Y'all preachers ought to be saying amen right there. Because if y'all ain't saying amen, that made me think y'all twisting. I hope y'all ain't getting up here twisting, because the intent is not to get up here and twist the truth and make it a lie. I don't know how I got that, but let me read that again. You hate justice and you twist all that is right. And look what he tells them about what they're doing to themselves. He says, you are building Jerusalem on a foundation of murder and corruption. You rulers make decisions based on bribes. You priests teach God's words, God's law, only for a price. And you prophets won't prophesy unless you are paid. Yet, all of you claim to depend on the Lord. And when you make your claim, Brother JP, he says, you claim no harm can come on us, you say, for the Lord is here among us. Well, you are lying. If you're doing all that he said up before, then God ain't with you while you're doing. He says, because of you lying prophets, because of you leaders who are corrupt, because of you, Mount Zion will be plowed like an open field. Jerusalem will be reduced to ruins. A thicket, nothing but scrubs and little small bushes, will grow on the heights where the temple now stands. In other words, he was prophesying that one day Jerusalem was going to be destroyed. And it is believed that happened when the Roman Empire came in and destroyed the whole Temple Mount. And so what I'm trying to tell you today is that when you come to church, man, don't come to church and turn your brain off. Don't come to church with tickling ears, waiting for someone to tell you what you want to hear to justify what you want to do. What you want to do ought to line up with. Amen. And so therefore, when you come in here and what you want to do don't line up with this, then I have to tear what you want to do down with. Have to come against every imagination and thought that come into your mind and bring it into subjection of what this word say. So you don't come to church to have the Bible sugarcoated to you to tell you that right is now wrong and wrong is now. A man should not be dressed like a woman. Amen. A Christian should not be lying on the regular. I give y'all the benefit for every now and then. But I'm twisted if I say that. Because the Bible says, thou shalt not. And he didn't qualify them as white lies, or brown lies, or big lies, or little lies. A lie. Well, you know there are certain things that they call half-truths. Well, half of it could be true, but the other half is a lie. And I tell people, y'all done heard me say this, Brother Mo, a half-truth is a whole. Oh, y'all didn't want to talk about that today, did you? I didn't come to tickle no ears. I didn't come to tell you it's going to be all right, that you can just come in here and don't take not one note and don't do nothing with what you're hearing. There's people out there that need to hear you speak the truth of God's word. And you need to be able to do it boldly. Look at Mark chapter 6. Here, we see the story of John the Baptist and how he was put to death for boldly rebuking King Herod for the sin of unlawfully marrying his brother's wife. Now, the king didn't really want to kill John because he kind of respected John. But boy, his wife did. She held that thing against John, man, and she hated John. And she was just looking for any opportunity she could get to kill old John. But she couldn't do it because the king kind of liked John, even though John was getting on his nerve. So John was getting on his nerve, Finley, but he still let John come in and talk the truth of God's word to him. But his wife, she had this deep hatred for John, and if she had been in power, John would have been dead up front. But the king couldn't do it, but the wife was looking for an opportunity. See, when people hold a grudge against you for a long period of time, it's going, and some of you, if you're holding a grudge against somebody for a long period of time, it's going to turn into hatred. And when it turns into hatred, you're going to be looking for an opportunity. You know, in the world, you know, we say payback is a. And you know some of y'all still operating on that principle. But that's bad teaching. Karma. Okay. So John was bold enough to go before people in power and tell them what they were doing was wrong. And what happened is that eventually, because John had this bold stand, it's going to cost him his life. See, everybody don't come out the fiery furnace like we saw last week. John going to lose his head. But he still stood on what was. I'm not asking any of y'all to be John the Baptist because I know y'all head is precious. You ain't giving it up for nobody. But I am asking you for every now and then, stand up and be counted. Let the world know that you know Jesus and that you are saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Spirit. Every now and then, you live in a country that ain't nobody going to cut your head off. You live in a country where you got free speech. You can come against wrong anytime you want to. You can say that is wrong based upon God's. You may upset some people, and there may be some deranged folk out there who may come at you, but for the most part, for the most part. In America, you can speak your truth from this word. Everybody else speaking it from their word. Everybody now, 20, 30 years ago, I ain't know nothing about no truth like that. But now everybody done got into this speaking the truth. You got to hear my truth. Well, what is your truth? And what is your truth based on? If your truth is just based on you sitting in your basement, just thinking up crazy, that ain't truth. Them lies. Your truth ought to be based upon, it is the word of. So look at this. Let me kind of start in verse 17 and read this. He says, and I'm in Mark chapter 6, says, for it was Herod who had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother's Philip's wife, because he had married her. And look at this, just why he ended up there. But really, it was kind of to protect John, because the wife, he wanted to kill John. But if I keep him in this little minimum security prison over here, where he got all kind of benefits and all that in prison, at least he protected. He said, now look, why did John end up in that situation? For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. It ain't lawful today. You got some brothers out there and one brother sleeping with the other brother's wife. You got to tell Unc, that ain't right. It is not right for you to sleep with Auntie. She ain't married to you. She married to Unc. Somebody got to tell him, it ain't right. It is not lawful for you to get drunk every weekend, cuz. And you can't be blowing blunts all day long. It ain't right. You ain't got glaucoma. You ain't got no prescription. It ain't. See, y'all don't want to tell folks it ain't right. Y'all want to tell them what they want to hear. It ain't right. It ain't right for you to drink too much Jack Daniel. It ain't right. Or Cavassier. Whatever it is you're doing. When you hit the point, somebody got to say, it ain't. See, that's what it takes. When you're going to be bold, you got to be bold enough to tell some folks it ain't. I understand what right and wrong is, and I'm here to tell you it ain't based upon what God says. So he was telling Herod this, man, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And look at verse 19. And Herodias had a grudge against him. That's the wife. You know, she must have been infatuated with the power. I don't know. She wanted them, you know, some folks just want to be around power, do anything to get around a little power. Then anytime somebody mess up that power move, then, hey, they got to go. Y'all like y'all don't understand nothing I just said. That's a nugget right there. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to put him to death, but she could not. For Herod feared John, in other words, he respected John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy. People may not respect us because they don't think we are righteous and he kept him safe. When he heard John, he was greatly perplexed. In other words, John, you're getting on my nerve, man. You done told me. I heard you. I know I ain't supposed to be married to her, but John, keep bringing them. I know, but John, you're getting on my nerve. I'm tired of hearing you tell me the same thing. I know it, but the Bible says, and yet he heard him gladly. Right. You know, some of your friends don't mind you telling them they're wrong. You just need to keep perplexing them. As long as they let you come and gladly talk to them, then you gladly tell them the truth. Because sooner or later, one or two things going to happen. They're going to gladly accept your truth, or they're going to tell you don't talk no more. But he heard him gladly. Somebody say but in verse 21. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for all his nobles and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. All boys party. He's celebrating, got all the boys in there sitting around. And if you know the story of how the Bible worked, most time in these days when they celebrated, it was kind of like when the king of Persia threw the party and Esther came in, you know, the princess came in, the queen, and didn't dance. Then, you know, he kind of felt embarrassed. So then therefore he got rid of her, and that's kind of how Esther got in the thing. So these boys, they, you know, he's sitting around there with all his boys. Now, you know, they're getting their head bad because they ain't drinking water, just water. Amen. Let me break it down for y'all. How many of y'all celebrate y'all birthday and all y'all drinking some water? I mean, some of y'all may do, but some of you don't. Show y'all, don't Wayne, tell them, don't sit here and play pastor. Pastor, know that some of y'all celebrate y'all birthday with a little toast. And I ain't got no problem with you having a toast. But Mike, if you have a quart worth of toast, then chances are, at the end of the night, you're going to be drunk. Amen. Then that's when Pastor Bolden going to have a problem. Because I got to tell you that drunkenness is still a. So you got to get the picture here. An opportunity came when Herod had his birthday. He gave a banquet for his nobles, military commanders, and leading men of Galilee. For when Herodias' daughter came in and... Now, y'all can only imagine this young girl. They say she wasn't no more about 16, 17 years old. And you got all these drunk dudes in there. Now, she had to do some kind of dance that made the king say what he's going to say here next. Now, I don't know what kind of dance she did. Y'all use y'all sanctified imagination. But she did something that had to be sort of kind of provocative. Because drunk men ain't going to just make a move like this unless something, yeah. Okay, y'all don't want to believe it. Let me read on. The daughter, she came in and danced. She pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it to you. And he vowed to her. Now, what in the world would he be making a vow to a 16, 17-year-old girl in front of all the boys? See, he was putting his foot in his mouth right now. He just don't realize it. He thought it was just going to be an innocent comment, but this comment is going to come back and bite him in his behind. And he vowed to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you up to half of my kingdom. Man, how in the world do you offer that to a 17-year-old? Oh, boy, I know that's why they don't want to open them files. Let me move on. 17-year-old, up to half my kingdom. And the little girl didn't know what to do. So guess what? How things work out, she go right back to her. And she went out and said to her mother, for what shall I ask? And she said, without even thinking about it, premeditated promptness, I call this. She didn't even have to think about it, Brother Johnson. Soon as she heard that, she said, look here, I just want John the Baptist. Go back and tell the king you want the head of John the Baptist. That's how evil is. And John the Baptist stood up for what was right, but now he's finna lose his life All because he stood up on the truth of God's word. Look what happened. Verse 25 and 26 says, "And she came in immediately with haste to the king and asked, saying, I want you to give me at once." Somebody say at once. See, she know this king here, this guy kind of waffled back and forth a little bit. So right now I got to catch him right now before he changed his mind. So I got to tell him, I want you to give me at the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And the king was exceedingly sorry, but because of his oath, he had to put his foot in his mouth in front of all his boys. Now he can't go back on his word. So therefore, you know, because of his oath and his guess, he did not want to break his word. That would have been a good time for him to boldly stand up and say, I am the king, and I just changed my mind. I know I said it, but I was under the influence. I like John. But because he was a weak, spineless guy, John the Baptist died. See, one thing I got out of that, on either way, spineless people ain't no good to you. And you need to make sure that you are not some spineless jellyfish. Amen. I don't care who you are. You got to have a spine, have a back. Straighten up sometime when you talk to people. Don't come across like you some little wimp all the time. Stand up and be counted. Have a spine. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. And so as a result, he sent the executioner and John was executed. All because he stood up for the truth of God's word. Now we're going to see later, John is not the only one that got executed for what they believe. Yeah. And so what I'm trying to tell you, I'm not trying to tell you to go out and ask somebody to cut your head off, but I'm trying to tell you, you need to define where your conviction is. And the things, there got to be a hill out there that's worth you falling on your sword on. There got to be a line somewhere that you draw in the sand. Say, look here, we all right, but you cross, and it cross this, you're going to find out that I ain't as weak as you. You're going to find out that there's a little backbone somewhere in here, and I'm going to boldly stand on what the word says. I ain't talking about me, I'm just talking about some of y'all, because I know I'm already there. I ain't trying to get there. I ain't scared. So I ain't trying to best brag or nothing like that. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm going to defend this gospel. Anywhere I go to anybody that got a question. Book of Acts, last turn. Here we see the boldness of Peter and John as they stood before the powerful Sanhedrin Council, which was the hierarchy of the Jewish religious community. And these religious leaders were greatly disturbed because Peter and John were teaching in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. In other words, they was talking about this foundational truth of the gospel that Jesus was raised from the dead. And what happens is we find out that they start preaching that message, about 3,000-4,000 folk got saved off that little simple message. And in the meantime, a man that had been following them got healed. And so when the religious leaders heard this, they wanted them to stop preaching in the name of Jesus, but they also wanted to know, who gave you to heal that man? And you know, you're talking to about 71 folk in leadership around this council, and they're expecting you to come in there and be some little timid wimp, because they hold all the power in the religious sector. And you got to go in there and defend something, and you have not even been educated in their system. But you got to stand before them to tear down their system, and you have not been educated. in the system. Boy, that's when you need the Holy Spirit that can put words in your mouth when you stand before great men and women, that you don't have to be intimidated. You don't have to wimp out because you know the truth of God's word, and the Holy Spirit will bring it back to your remembrance. Let me just read this now, take my seat. Starting in verse 7 of Acts chapter 4. It says, when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? In other words, we see the guy standing there next to you here, and we want to know who gave you the authority or who gave you the power to do what you did, and who gave you the power to speak about the resurrection of the dead. Verse 8, let me know that Peter wasn't scared. He wasn't intimidated by his audience. And you don't need to be intimidated by the folk that you're talking to when you stand on God's word. And I know some of y'all got meek and mild natures. That's okay. But when it comes to the Lord, you got to get bold. When it comes to this word, you got to get bold. Verse 8 says, then Peter, filled with what? Said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, leadership, if we this day adjudge for the good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known. Perk up y'all ears and listen to what we're about to tell y'all. Leaders, religious, self-righteous folk, listen, because I'm about to tell you something that you ain't going to agree with, but because I'm going to be bold enough to say it, I don't care whether you agree or since you want to know, I ain't scared to tell you. So he says, filled with the Spirit, he said to rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for the good deed we've done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all, not some of y'all, all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name, good God Almighty, y'all better hold on to that name right there. Y'all just got to sing it. By the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom God raised from the dead. How many days later? 3. He left out the 3 days right there, but you can insert that. Y'all crucified him, put him in a tomb, but 3 days later, God raised him from the dead. And then he says, by him, not us, but by him, this man stand before you whole. It was his power that we were operating in, not our power. It was the Holy Spirit empowering us to do what we did, empowering us to say what we are saying, and therefore we speak it as if we got the same authority that Jesus would have. The Holy Spirit has given them the boldness to stand before leaders and tell them the truth and not shrink back just to please folks. Then he go and stick his finger in the eye. Verse 11, he says, this is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. In other words, you self-righteous religious leaders, you rejected Jesus and treated him like he was nothing. Beat him down. Put him on a cross. Spit on him. All that. You treated him like he was. But 3 days later, you found out that he was more than nothing. He is the chief cornerstone of the building that you're trying to tear down. He is the foundation that all this is built on. It is because of him that we boldly stand here Because we know who the cornerstone is. We know who the foundation is. And we stand on him and his truth. Not on our truth, but his. Wayne, we got to know who the foundation is. We got to know who the chief cornerstone is. And every now and then you need to share that. Because look here, when Peter and them said that, they were bold enough to say something. And I know y'all don't, y'all need to, this ought to be one of them that y'all underline in y'all Bible right here. Verse 12. Because after he said that he's the chief cornerstone, he said, now look at this. Nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which you must be saved. So when other people out there running up to you with some other names, you need to let them know, baby, look at here, you got the wrong. Ain't, there ain't no other name. If it ain't Jesus, you got the wrong. But I want to tell you a little bit about Harold over here. Well, nope. Wrong name, baby. When it comes to my salvation, ain't Bo? Y'all act like y'all scared to say it. Ain't but one name. See, you didn't come here today for me to tell you five different names. Y'all sitting out there with y'all thinking caps on. Let me say, no, ain't Bo. And you don't need a college degree to say one name. You don't need to go home and pray for a week to say. You don't need Pastor Bolden to slap some oil on your head for you to say. All you need to do is buy into the truth that's in this Bible and then say, that is the only. So when people want to come up to you and debate other names, you need to have this scripture right here in your hip pocket. This needs to be your joker. You know, because when you got the joker or two jokers in your hand, Wayne, you get a little bold. You make bids that you just think that, look here, I got two jokers and an ace. You running up in here, and I got seven hearts on top of that. You run up in here, you're going to throw down your little five and think you're going to intimidate me, baby. Look at here. You better watch out. You don't know what I got in my hand, because what I got in my hand about to wreck your world. You about to write a check that you can't cash, baby, because I got the only name that is above every. Good God Almighty, man, when I know that, I don't need to have nobody come up here. You just need to say, Jesus. If you leave here with nothing else today, all you need to know is Jesus. You know, when I got a revelation on that scripture when I was in Germany years and years ago, a brother read this scripture to me, and when he read it to me that day, man, I never forgot this scripture. And every time I get a chance to use this one, I always go back to it, because this is a powerful scripture, man. I mean, you putting some absolutes in this thing right here. When you say no other name under heaven given among men by which we must. I'm done. Look at verse 13. Now when they saw, somebody said they saw it. They saw the boldness of Peter and John. You know, when they saw that, they weren't shy. They weren't wimps. They weren't spineless. When they saw that, they weren't cowards. They weren't intimidated. When they saw that, your boldness can be. When you are operating in that spirit of boldness, people can see it based upon how you say things, how you act, how you carry yourself. There's a confidence that you have when you walk in the boldness of the Lord and the Holy Spirit is empowering you. Look at this. When they saw that chop, they saw the boldness, then they started to think it. Because that boldness made them become aware of some things. It says, they saw their boldness and perceived that they were these boys ain't even been trained in rabbinical teachings. These boys ain't ever went to Hebrew school. These are just ordinary fishermen. That some dude swooped up while they was out fishing, and now they standing here boldly declaring like they done been to a PhD school and got a degree in Jesus Christ. And I'm trying to tell you that you can get that right here today, baby. You ain't got to go nowhere else. I can tell you what you need your PhD in, and his name is Jesus. I ain't knocking higher education, but obviously these boys didn't have it. They perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men. See, some of y'all let that keep y'all from being what God called y'all to be. Man, a sheepskin on the wall don't mean nothing if you're still crazy. If you're operating with worldly wisdom instead of godly, I ain't knocking the sheepskin. Don't get me wrong. I ain't knocking that nobody's sheepskin. I got daughters that got plenty of them. But when they're looking for wisdom, guess where they come? The dude with the HS. They don't go looking for the dude with the BB and the MD and the PEAD. They look for the HS. High school. They come looking for the high school guy that got a degree in that Bible. Because wisdom comes from a... Y'all better hear me today. And I'm trying to tell you that God can do some things for you. If you just stand on the truth of God's word, don't let things hinder you from standing on the truth. If you know the truth, tell the truth. Stand on the truth. Boldly declare the truth. And I guarantee you, somebody will realize that, hey, boldly been sitting at Jesus' feet. He didn't go to nobody else's school, but he been sitting at the master's feet. Wilson been sitting at the master's feet early in the morning. He talking to Jesus. He studying Jesus. He reading Jesus. And guess what? Now, when it's time to stand up, he know how to call on the name of. I'm just looking for some people that's going to be bold in the Lord and boldly declare, in Jesus I stand. I live for him. I die for him. I represent him. He is my all is all, because that is the only name. That is the only name. That is the only name. Only name. Only name. No other name. No other name. At the name of Jesus, every knee gonna bow and every tongue don't confess that Jesus Christ is he Lord? Oh, hey, yes, yes, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. I done read to you 40 scriptures. I done read to you 3 different books of the Bible, but all you need to walk out of here with that nugget named Jesus. If you sift through that pan, let Buddha fall out. Let Muhammad fall out. Let Hare Krishna fall out. But you hold on to Jesus. I'm done. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.